listener production.
It's Friday. Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
I like to call him Mr. Happy.
Happy, happy, joy.
Happy days,
we dance, we kiss, we schmooze, we carry on, we go home happy. What do you say?
It's Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
G'day, g'day. This is All Day Breakfast with your boys, Matt and Alex. But you may have heard me on another podcast this week, jumping up with our good friend Bridget Hustwaite for her podcast, Figuring Out 30, alongside ex-AFL player and podcaster Dylan Buckley. We talked about the age of 30 from a dude's perspective. Matt O'Connor, you've been through that.
Yeah, man. But I mean, 30 for me was awesome. Way better than my 20s.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, wasn't living in some gross share house, broke as, doing nothing with my life. Like, I had stuff to do, man. I was working on Triple J. I just got a new job. Started my new relationship. Started having money. 30 was the best, bro.
Because that's the thing. It can happen at any age, you know? And even if it's not 30 and it's 40, it's still you. It's still from your eyes. It's your brain.
I remember a friend when I was like 21 said that they were turning 28, and I was like, oh mate, I'm sorry.
My condolences.
No, I wouldn't. You couldn't pay me to be 28 again. It was awful. So, so 30 was tops.
All right. Well, if you want a bit more information on that, Figuring Out 30 is there for you. But if you want some good, wholesome Matt and Alex fun, we've got a big old show for you today.
30 is better than 37 as well. I had to put, you know, remember when I dressed up as Drake at the Arias?
Yeah.
And you dressed up as the background for Hotline Bling?
I remember.
Well, I needed to get like some hair filament stuff.
I remember pouring that on your head. Like
to make it
powder.
Look like I had a straight line instead of my terrible receding headline. Well, I popped, I took that out of the cat bathroom cabinet again yesterday. I had to film an audition. I was like, all right, I'm doing it.
Well, we do touch on hair loss in the episode as one of the things. So check out that one. But yeah, as we mentioned, big one today because we've got incredible Olympian Liesl Jones on the show. Some big controversy around a particular swimming stroke this week. And we want to get Liesl's opinion, being one of our greatest swimming exports, but namely, not someone who did butterflies. So we'll get to that very, very soon. We've also got What's Hitting with Sarah. We've got a great big mailbag. Should we get stuck in, Maddie?
Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
This is just the start.
Everyone ready?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
Well, as always, Matt O'Kine on a Tuesday, Rant Dog does divide the nation with his truth bombs dropping out of the old larynx there. So much so this week that it's reached circles, national swimming circles, when I got stuck into the topic of the swimming stroke butterfly.
It's all these losers who can't win in the other races. They have to come up with these technicalities that can get them on the podium. Well, I'm sick of it. Takes up 11 days in the Olympics. No! One end to the other. Get it over with. Enough!
All Day Breakfast listener Bert lit the fuse and Rant Dog exploded. But for comments, Matt, we've actually got a four-time Olympian going to be joining us right now. Olympic Mate. Swimmer and host of The Rush Hour on Triple M Drive in Queensland, Liesl Jones. Welcome to All Day Breakfast.
Hello. Yes, I completely agree with you. I mean, if Susie O'Neill called in, then you'd be in a whole lot of trouble because you'd have to defend yourself because she is Madam Butterfly. But, you know, I will defend you, and I do agree with you. It is rubbish. Butterfly's rubbish.
Yes, thank you, Liesl. I remember watching you, in the 2000 Olympics. I remember it being incredible at the time because I was 15 as well, you know, and we weren't in exactly the same circles, but we, you know, you were a Brizzy girl and you were 15 and I was 15 from Brizzy, and to see you on the world stage winning medals was just incredible. You were doing it breaststroke at the time. Was there ever a time when you thought maybe that you would go to the dark side?
No, never. No, because they always get the credit. They always, you know, take all the glory and they think they're amazing and they get up there and think, I do butterfly and we're better than you because you're breaststrokers. And so, no, definitely not to the dark side. So I'm very glad to have this conversation because feel like breaststroke's just completely underrated. By the way, we have the best title of all the strokes, for sure. And no one takes the piss out of us anyway, so that's good. So we're already on the back foot anyway. So in terms of doing that, I feel like, you know, finally we get our time in the sun. So no, I wouldn't go to the dark side.
Well, that's good, Liesl. Like, growing up, obviously, you do end up... Well, a lot of people end up picking a preferred stroke. You've got your individual medalists. But when did you decide that, you know, butterfly was rubbish and breaststroke was the one for you?
Well, breaststroke chose me very early because backstroke was by far my worst stroke and everyone, all coaches laughed at me. So I decided to stay away from that one. I knew that butterfly was pretty rubbish and too hard and no one likes them anyway. Freestyle, I was far too slow. It just never won any races and I would always win races in breaststroke. So that it chose me. I was very young. I was probably about 11 or 12 when it chose me. But you've got to do all of them. You've got to try them before you can slam them. But, you know, once you try them, you go, that's not for me. Then you pick the one that you like best.
I mean, with the pool, as an outsider, it seems pretty straightforward, right? It's, you know, you're in the pool, you're going straight to the other end and possibly back again, sometimes several times. But like when I remember when I was doing athletics, you know, there was a lot of room for embarrassment, Liesl. I remember I competed in the Opens high jump, the GPS competition, didn't clear a height. I didn't get over the very first bar. It was too high for me. I was in over my depth, quite literally.
So the Frosby flop was not your thing.
Well, no, but what was the most embarrassing thing that you've had happen in and around the pool?
Embarrassing things don't typically happen to me, but it's probably outside the pool where I probably make a fool of myself. Mm. I did happen to mix up Gil McLaughlin with Hamish McLaughlin once. That was mega, mega embarrassing because they actually don't look alike. So that was probably the most embarrassing moment. But around the pool, I was pretty confident. So, and I don't think anyone wanted to mess with me if they wanted to do a prank. So, because they know they would get it back, 10 times.
Oh, right. Very good.
Oh, okay.
Well, mine was Portland 50-meter pool, swim in that, dove in, goggles down around the neck, and you just got to swim the whole, like, spluttering, eyes closed, crashing into the laid ropes. Oh, man. Just dreadful.
And you know what? Doesn't matter who's in the race, they will always take photos of that because it always looks great. Like the photographer will just hone in on that and just go, oh, look at this Muppet with his goggles down.
That was it. No good. Well, do you think, Liesl, now, what should we do as a society? Because obviously the swimming pool is absolutely sodden with too many different strokes for this. Do we try and remove a few of the strokes? I mean, obviously starting with the butterfly, or do we sort of get a bit more equality in the other sports and maybe start including, let's say on the athletics track, people running backwards, okay?
Oh.
People skipping. You've got to just jump 2 feet together all the way down the 100 meters.
Bring a potato sack race back to the
Olympics. Egg and spoon race.
You've got to be running with an egg on a teaspoon.
Yeah, exactly. I reckon we could include a bit more equality. I think we could have more events in the games. We've got mixed medley relays now, but I feel like we could do the backstroke with the water bottle on the head race.
You could do
the Katie Ledecky, the freestyle with the cup of chocolate milk on her head. You could do all sorts of stuff.
Wow, I didn't know that there was that many options. Yeah, so are there any other strokes? I mean, because I didn't really even know that people, I guess, had to invent butterfly. They had to go through a series of processes to get to, you know, onto the world stage and become an official stroke. Are there any strokes that we don't know about yet that might be vying for a fifth spot?
Well, I reckon there isn't any on the radar, but I reckon we could do an underwater race. Like, you can just get there the quickest because it's fastest underwater. So they only let them go to 15 metres. So I reckon if you can do it, no breathing, just underwater all the way, let's race that. So
that would be interesting.
Oh, I'd love to
That's really, really good. I love doing that in the pool. Just see how far you can go.
Yeah.
Or how many laps you can do without a breath.
How many laps do you think would be possible? Like, do many of the swimmers that you know, like, can they do multiple laps?
Well, you could definitely do 50. I reckon that could be easily done. If you could get 100, you'd be the clear Olympic champion.
Wow, that's so cool.
Two laps.
Now, obviously, swimming the breaststroke, you've won some incredible individual medals in your time, Liesl. There are a couple of occasions, though, in, you know, medley races where you were forced to split that medal with the help of someone who swam butterfly. Do you consider those medals part of your actual Olympic haul?
The relay ones?
Yeah. Are they tainted? Do you not include those because they had a butterfly in there?
We could just leave that name out. It's kind of blurred. You know, when we blank out people's names, we kind of just blur those people. It's usually Libby Trickett. She was always the butterfly. So we don't refer to her by name. We kind of refer to her as her or she or, you know, like she doesn't have an identity. And we blur out her face in all the podiums as well.
I've also heard that you actually cut out a quarter of the medal so that your gold medal or your medal just looks like Pac-Man.
We just gave her a piece of the pie, you know, the quarter of the pizza. We just gave that to her and said, you can have that. We'll take the rest, but just don't associate with us. We don't want to be seen with you. We're not happy with you. So if you could just stand on the other podium, that'd be great.
Well, Liesl, you've made our day. You've made our listener Bert's day as well. I am absolutely sure. Thank you so much for jumping up on All Day Breakfast and having a little bit of a chat to us about swimming. It's been great to have a talk. And if you do want to keep listening to Liesl, Liam and Dobbo on Triple M Drive, I would highly recommend it. That's some good banter. Liesl, we'll catch you next time.
Thank you very much. See ya.
I smell toast.
I'm calling it.
That's cool.
Drippy.
What about like?
That's pretty cool.
What's hitting?
Little thing called.
What's hitting?
With Sarah.
Yes, that is right. It is that time of our week where we chat to a good friend of ours who gives us the insight on what it's like to be a teenager in Brisbane and who is much cooler than Alex Dyson and myself. So we like to hear your questions on at matt.n.alex about, you know, what you want Sarah to tell you. It's a segment called What's Hitting with Sarah, and Sarah's on the line right now. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, guys.
I want to ask you, Sarah, do you watch Stranger Things?
Yes, I do.
That's interesting because they're up to the fourth season now, and I haven't actually started the fourth season. I've got to get onto it, but it is interesting seeing the kids, the child actors who started out probably around your age at that time, growing into like adults. So you see these old adult actors now. How have you seen it with these actors growing up as you've watched the seasons of Stranger Things?
I was literally just talking about this in psychology when I was probably meant to be doing my work, but I was like, had a full conversation about this, about how the first season came out in 2016 and I was in grade 4 in 2016.
What?
Oh, so,
my God.
It's kind of weird because I fully thought they were like my age when I was watching the show, and then I find out like recently, well, I kind of always knew, but like one of the characters who's playing like, I don't know, a 15-year-old is actually 20 and another's 21 and I was like, flabbergasted when I found out I was not okay. And then I had a full conversation about it, and it took me like a full moment to realize that we're not the same age as them.
I think for me it was the kids in Harry Potter sort of realizing they were about your age as they were growing up.
I read all the books first, though. I didn't watch the movies after for a bit. I read all the books first, so I'm not sure about Harry Potter.
So, Sarah, let's jump into to what's hot and what's not these days, because a texter, Sam, got in touch with us with a question that, for me, I still post my results of this particular thing that Sam's talking about every single day, and that is Wordle. Is Wordle still cool, or was it ever cool?
Okay, so Wordle is actually so much bigger than I thought it was. I've never actually done it, but, like, my best friend and like all her friends and like the teachers, they'll all be going like, oh my God, have you done the Wordle today? And they literally all loved Wordle. So I would say it is hot because all my friends play it.
Wordle is hot. It's good to see the word games being hot because, growing up, there were some things where they tried to make grammar or maths cool, like Maths Quest, like a video game where you try and get the answers and it does these sort of things. Are there any other educational games that that we should be getting on?
From like the beginning of like having computers in class and school, Cool Math Games has had the superior power over all of the students. So
is it called Cool Math Game?
Yeah, and you just log onto it and there's like a bunch of different games you can play. They're not really math related, but the school lets you play it, so.
Wow, that is really good to know.
I remember there was the running game and you had to get the typing right, and if you got the typing wrong, the person would like fall over the hurdle. That was about as cool as the games got when I was growing up.
There was a really sick game growing up called The Incredible Machine. And what you used to do was like you'd fire a rocket and it would fly up and that would hit a cat and it would walk and drop into a basket, which would pull a lever and you could make this, like, it was like an engineering game almost. Should look that one up, Sarah. I recommend it.
Well, look, we've also got Liz, who got in touch with us as a voice message. Liz has asked this question of you, Sarah.
Hey, Matt and Alex, it's Liz here. I have a question for Sarah. I was wondering if she could shed some light on the phrase "don't at me" or, you know, "don't at symbol me," because it's something that I still say quite frequently. And I realize I don't hear many young people saying it and it could be incredibly uncool. So I was wondering if Sarah could let us know if "don't at me" is still hitting.
What do you reckon, Sarah?
Look, I wouldn't say that it's not hitting. I still hear quite a few people say it. I just don't think I say it. Mm. I'm pretty sure it's still fine. Like, it's hitting. It's fine.
What's your definition of it, say? When would you use it?
I think it's pretty sure, like, when someone says something, like, if someone's, like, making fun of something and you do it, you're like, oh, my gosh, don't at me. Like, like, don't expose me. Like, it's kind of like that.
Okay.
Okay.
It's meant to be like playful and teasing, I'm pretty sure.
Well, there you go. Well, look, amazing, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. It's very exciting to have you on. I mean, we had a change of government. Was that talked about at all at your school?
It wasn't like really talked about at my school, but like my sisters talked about it a lot. So I don't know most of it, but I know about it. My sister was talking about it.
Well, the coolest part of the election for me is when I walked into a cafe in Hamilton, Sarah, and the girl who was there serving, you know, taking the orders said, oh, my goodness, we watched your TikTok in our English class. And I've just, like, never felt so hitting in my life.
No, bless. Love that.
I reckon that's pretty cool too, Sarah. Hey, thank you so much for joining us, as always. We'll catch you next time.
Of course. Thank you.
Breakfast. Well, it is that time of the week where we rummage through the Matt and Alex mailbag to cover a few of the topics and the great correspondence we get from you, but we don't necessarily have time or they get in time for the podcast record. Matt, what are we looking at?
Yeah, that's right. Nicole got in touch regarding weird gig experiences and said, saw someone at a Nine Inch Nails gig pierce someone's nipple in the middle of the mosh. Oh, squirmy, a warning.
Who's taken along their nipple-piercing needle for the mosh pit? That's dangerous. Surely that security had picked that up on the way in.
A friend of mine pierced his ear with a girl that he was dancing with earring.
Oh.
Just on the club dance floor. Yeah, just was like, put a bit of ice on it and then just went through.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, Nicole continues saying, speaking of gigs, our favourites, our Lord and Saviour Darude, had a gig over the weekend and he did play Sandstorm but didn't quite deliver. And I think Nicole was filming at the time. This is what happened. Well, here it comes. Here it comes.
How funny is that? What?
Remix. Oh, very sneaky from Darude, chucking in a different drop at the ends. I don't mind. I thought that was going to be much. Well, he was going to Rickroll us or something like that.
Well, Darude by name and Darude by nature.
Very, very nice. No, that,
very rude
that sounds
indeed.
Like I was getting a little bit jealous listening to that coming in. And anyway, very, very good stuff. Thank you for the message, Nicole. We've also got Brendan, who said on the topic of forgetting things, being a stay-at-home dad, a bit busy, so I'll get up in the morning, get distracted by the baby, and then forget about the coffee I made 6 hours ago.
Oh, man. I hate it when you forget a coffee.
Yeah, or a tea. Do you try the microwave? Do you even bother to salvage? Get out the paddles, clear, clear, try and resuscitate it.
Well, I do soy, and I tell you what, there's nothing funkier than a cold, chunky soy drink. Oh, it gets really badly frothy and lumpy. Yeah.
No good, Brendan.
Taylor also got in touch with us regarding the swimming style butterfly. Says, what's wrong with butterfly, Daiso? What? got weak shoulders or something?
Yes. Yes, I do.
It's really hard to get your head up out of the
really
water, isn't it?
It hurts your shoulders trying to do it both
get
at the same time.
Get them both up at the same time. I know.
Yeah.
Oh,
not really to mention ouch. The elbow as well. That's not going to be good for anybody, for me.
Yeah. So, no, that's why we got Liesl on to back us up, okay? Don't hear it from us. Hear it from one of Australian swimming greats.
Absolutely right.
Now, look, this brings us to the end of a Matt and Alex all-day breakfast week. We hope you are having a good weekend. Very, very excited.
Any big plans, Matthew?
Do I? Aside from the fact that I've just spent, you know, the last day filming for a TV show that I can't talk about.
Are you going to be on our screens again soon?
It's an episode of a TV show. I'm in one scene. Anyways.
Wait, are you sure? Or is it going to be like that Nicole Kidman series you got cut out?
Hey, I'm still on the credits. You can hear my voice if you listen close enough. No, I'm hosting my my daughter's childcare trivia night. It's a fundraiser. Thank you very much if you're wondering where my career's at.
Well, Opera House was booked out this weekend, was it? Right?
Hey, you gotta make sure that there's money for new monkey bars and stuff in the daycare center. So just doing my bit, mate. Just doing my bit.
No, that is true. I think I'm going to try and see some Jaguar Jones this weekend.
Ooh-wee.
Down the corner, so that'll be fun. But other than that, we'll see you around, and particularly same place next Monday with a brand new episode of All Day Breakfast.
Bye bye.
That's it. The All Day Breakfast kitchen is closed. Got a story we need to hear? All the links are at mattandalex.com.au.